It's always so powerful to hear those stories and to see the current and the recent graduated clients of Teen Challenge. And it's certainly not the same to watch the videos, but it's still inspiring to hear those stories. And it's fun to see I think 3 or 4 years ago, one man I ate lunch with in our very church basement was in the video, and I got to hear his story as it was being written, and now I hear the rest of it and seeing restoration with his family. But all these stories of hope, I think, come from faith. I think from people having faith in them and praying for them, being faithful that the Holy Spirit will work in them, and they having faith in God and humbling themselves and coming to repentance. And I thought about today, there's not much I want to share, but really the topic of addiction is hard to wrap our minds around, because many of us here have not dealt with addiction, but most of us here know someone who has been or is currently dealing with addiction. And it seems to not make much sense. There's things that would do that a rational person wouldn't do. You see an addict do sometimes on a daily basis. Sometimes it's a family member or a close friend where you try everything you can to help them, and yet they keep going back to these destructive behaviors and these qualities. And I've heard from some who are dealing with addiction, it's a lot like a leech that just holds on to you that most of the time you're numb to, like you wouldn't feel a leech sucking, but it's taking the life out of you, and it's there, and oftentimes it feels hopeless, as we heard from the people in the stories today. But we often come to the point of thinking that they're hopeless as well. And addicts in many ways become lepers of our society, where we say we don't want people like that mixing with our kids. We don't want people like that in our churches. And oftentimes they are feeling hopeless in the same way. But we see that there's another side of these stories. And for as many failures you might hear and people going back to the same destructive behaviors, we see those on the other side who have a mighty and powerful working of God in their life. And that excites me. That gives me life. And it shows the power of the gospel and how it works in people's lives. And normally at this point, we'd share those encouraging words with the choir that would be here, telling them to keep going, to encourage them, to be praying for them. But I just want to share a few quick scriptures as we think about this topic. And the first comes from the book of 2 Peter. And that idea of sometimes that they're just a lost cause, that that there's no hope left for them, certainly they think that about themselves. And if we think that about them well, then we become part of that same issue. But 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And the Lord desires for all of us, whether we're an addict or we're just an everyday sinner, to come to repentance. And we may not come to the level of addiction, but all of us have a vice of some kind. We have a sin, as we read in the book of Hebrews, that so easily entangles us. And it's that one thing we might come back to over and over, perhaps not on the level of addiction, but certainly at a level of habit. And God desires for all of us to come to a place of repentance from that. There is no one that is too far gone. And so we evaluate ourselves first, but also pray for others that the Holy Spirit would work in their life in a mighty way, because it is the Spirit that brings them to that place of humility and repentance through his conviction. And that's where we see we have a high priest that advocates for us, that administers the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the high priest. As we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." And that's the gift that's offered to every one of us when we go to Jesus, our advocate and intercessor, that we may receive from him the mercy and the gift of grace to help us in our time of need. And that's what we can do for those who are struggling, for those family members, those friends, for all those around us, even within our church, who are going into these places and making these those choices that are destructive. We can pray for them and point them to the one who offers grace and help in the time of need. And we know that all of these stories, no matter how painful, have a purpose and provide hope. All these people went through these situations in life that seemed hopeless in the time and that were full of pain for themselves and those around them. But God doesn't waste that. And he provides through this hope. And we see in Romans 5, verse 3 and 4, that not only so, but we also glory. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given us. And we see this transformation of these people who are going through these terrible things, these sufferings. And this is talking, I believe, about persecution, outside things happening to us. But I think the principle remains the same for the sufferings we have inside of us, that it produces this perseverance and this character that ultimately leads toward hope that God can bring us through the darkest of times and the driest of deserts in our lives. Because God and his love does not fail. That's where I just want to leave us in that encouragement today. No matter what you're going through or someone around you, that there's always, always hope. And it's powerful hope that can create a story like the ones we saw today. And so we think about the situation we're in now, where you have this global pandemic that's happening, that's altering life for many of us. And there's a lot of predictions that this epidemic of opioid use and other chemical addictions is going to blossom to a level it's never been because of all that we've been going through this year. So there's going to be an increased need for ministries like Teen Challenge and others like it to help those who are struggling with addiction. So I talked with Mark, who gave the shout out for us today, about ways that we can help. The first he said is pray. Please, please be in prayer for these clients, for this ministry, and those who need Teen Challenge but who haven't humbled themselves yet to do that and receive that kind of help. Pray for the Holy Spirit to be at work. And for those clients there who are having limited ability, contacting their families and seeing their mentors, be in prayer for them that they would be encouraged daily. Financially is a great way to support Teen Challenge. It does take a lot of dollars to make this ministry work. So he did say you can text HOPE to 900-900, and that ultimately just leads you to the website, so you could go straight there as well, mntc.org, and click the donate button. Or, as in years past, we could write checks to the church, put Teen Challenge in the memo, and we can pass through one check to them. And just anytime this week for that. Also, to be a mentor, that's something that's on pause right now, but there are people in our church who have served in this capacity to be encouraging these people, these clients, and build relationships with them. It's an amazing way to minister. So if you're interested in being a mentor, just talk to me anytime, and I can pass you through into the right channels to be involved in that way. But I just want to take a moment now as we close our service and just offer these stories. Just thank God for these stories, to be praying for those who are struggling with addictions right now, and ultimately that the Holy Spirit will be working in their life. So join with me as we close. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing stories of hope that we've seen today. It's inspiring to me. And God, I just know that there's so many that this touches in a very personal way as they've dealt with these kinds of things themselves or in their families or close circles of friends. So I do pray for those who are struggling with addictions and the way that they feel so hopeless. God, as often happens, your stories start with such a beautiful brokenness that we come to a place that there's nothing left to lose but our own self and our own desires, but that's the way to true life, you tell us, that we would lose our life first to find it in you. And so I pray for those who are at that place that they would lose that last bit of pride, that last bit of desire for the fleshly things, the carnal things of this world, God, that they would give that over to you, that they would repent of what they know is wrong, and that they would find new life in you, that they become a new creation. We pray for those on that journey who have made that decision now. We know that the hardest part for an addict is not being addicted, but being sober. And so for those years ahead that they're going to be continuing to struggle with this, we pray for strength, and we pray for encouragement daily, that they'd be pointed back to you. And I pray now that those around us that are struggling, we would not marginalize them, or that they wouldn't be ostracized, but that we would see the hope and the future that's available for them, that we do everything we can to help. And as we know, God, nobody is too far gone, that you desire for everyone to come to that place of repentance and new life in you. And so, God, I thank you for this time, albeit a bit different than normal, still powerful nonetheless, to see the ways that you're working in the people around us. We give you all the glory for it. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.